I want to greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are here again together to worship the Lord. And I want to thank God who has made it possible that I come this way. As we all know, we came here for the funeral of our brother. The Lord willing, I'll be going back home on Thursday. So, I just want to bring greetings from our fellowship and the other brethren who knew of my coming here, that have been sending their greetings and also their condolences because of what transpired here in this place. But I want to thank God that all things work together for good to them that love God. So it's just good to be assembled again and share the Word of God. We want to thank God that He has called us to a reality. We are not just people groping in darkness or trying to figure out things or try to stampede into some new thing or discover things. But our faith and our calling is according to our predestination. Because even before the foundation of the world, God knew us, and He so designed us that we should meet what was on the backside of His mind. The places of our abode, the experiences we go through, whatever we are, even gender-wise, God so made it that we would accomplish the purpose of our being here. Amen. And nothing is by chance. Amen. Nothing is by accident. Amen. And so based on that, we know we are a people who, though we go through difficulties, be it good things, we know we are the realization of that which was in the mind of God, which is unchangeable, no matter what the circumstances may be. So we thank God because we are here, and we share the hope of our calling. Now, as we all know, we have done this, what we did in the morning, because of something that happened or transpired in our midst. We cannot run away from that. That's what happened. And we cannot overcome it by imaginations. We cannot console ourselves by just imaginations also, because it's something that has happened. But as we want to share this afternoon, because of our calling, because of the predestination that God has bestowed upon us, there are things that happen, but as far as we are concerned, they have not happened. That's why the Bible tells us that way before the foundation of the world, God predestinated us to be holy and without blame. But we can't run away from the fact that we have blemishes.
Yes, sir.
But as far as God is concerned, when He looks at us at the end of the day, we have no blame.
Amen.
So actually, Whatever wrong we didn't do it. Because we are not here to show forth what is happening or just to be taken out by what's happening. But we have a hope. Like Paul says, we hold on to that hope which leads us into the inner veil, into the perfection and the completeness of God Himself. So things show they happen, but before God, as I said, we are without blame. That doesn't mean when I do wrong, I don't have to come to God and say, I've done wrong. I don't have to come to my brother and say, sorry, I did this. Just by blanketing it, saying, we are without blame. Then when my brother forgives me, to him, I've not even done what I did. That's forgiveness. The same with God. God does not count on what wrong or what bad things we have done. So, at the end of the day, we come into the very realities of God. That's why we have a hope. We are not just groping in darkness and thinking or saying, we don't know what will happen. Whatever will happen, that's what will happen. But we are rest assured that we are going to a destiny. We are going to something that is real. And because of that, we are not taken forever by things that are not real. That's why sin could not hold on us forever. That's why we repented. That's why we came to God. Because as far as God is concerned, we're not supposed to be sinners. But bearing that, we come to God knowing that our wrongs will be done away with.
Amen.
Our sins put in the sea of forgetfulness. And then we will stand before Him as if we never sinned. And nothing imperfect will come into the presence of God. So, upon that basis, you know, we are happy people. Yes, we pass through our emotions. There are times when we are low. There are times when we are happy. But at the end, all glory comes back to God.
Amen.
So, we may refer back to what transpired in our midst, or maybe I want to take that as our, you know, as our entry point into that which you want to look into by the Word of God. So if we can just turn to our Bibles, we want to go to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, we'll read chapter 30 of the book of Genesis, verse 31 up to verse 35. Okay, let me just, maybe we'll get to something beyond that. Okay, let's go to this chapter before we read Genesis 30. Let's go to chapter 39, Genesis 39, Genesis 39, we just read verse 31. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or not." And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat, and an evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces." And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, and he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have read your word, which any able person can do, but Father, we look up to you for the inspiration, for the anointing by your Spirit, that Lord God, our gathering here may not be in vain, but may confirm as it is conformed to the purpose of your will, which is eternal. Father, anoint the speaker and the hearer, that Lord God, together we may come to that perfection which you so desire for us. We commit this into your hand for your own glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, we just want to speak on, as I said, we have just, in our normal terms of language, we have lost a brother who has gone to be with the Lord. But we just want to maybe refer to that and talk on this subject. He is not dead. As we look in a positive way to the Word of God and get the interpretation of whatever we are or we have gone through, not according to the norm, but according to the Word of God. Now, here we see the 10 sons of Jacob. They bring a bloody torn coat, which was of many colors, to Joseph, to Jacob, and say, "Is this not your son's robe, which we have found?" And when Jacob looked at it, he positively identified it and said, "This is my son's robe." He is now dead. From the way he could see things, surely Joseph was dead. And it was a confirmation of the death of Joseph. You could not deny the fact. This looked like it was a fact that Joseph had died. But now we want to look at this. If they brought this coat signifying or confirming the death of Joseph, let's just look, for we cannot just deal with the end without going back to the beginning. As I said, that's where we get our confirmation. You know, we have faith in God, and we have faith that we are children of God, not because today God has blessed us, not because today we have seen in the Word that God has got to be worshipped. That's not what we go by. We go back to the beginning. That's where we get our identity. That's where we get to know who we are. Because many a time, we can maybe think we are what we are really not. But let's come back to the beginning. So now, we want to follow this Joseph. From this evidence or this confirmation of his death, that Joseph is dead. But who is this Joseph? Joseph was the son of Rachel, we know. That was his mother. And now we go to chapter 30 now of Genesis. Let's just read. Genesis chapter 30. In Genesis chapter 30, we want to read verses 1 and 2. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, "Give me children, or else I die." And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in God's stead, who hath withheld thee from the fruit of the womb?" We go to verse 22. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened up to her, and opened her womb, and she conceived and bare a son, and said, "God hath taken away my reproach." And she called his name Joseph, and said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." Now, here is the Joseph we want to talk about. How did he come to be? We see here Rachel, his mother, coming to Joseph. To Jacob. She was a determined woman who could not be judged by the prevailing circumstances. You could not judge Rachel by what she looked like or what she was at any given time. Rachel's life, Rachel's faith, Rachel's conviction was tied to that which was God's judgment of her. Because she comes to Joseph and she says, "I want children or I die. The purpose of my being here is not that to buy me food, to buy me dresses, you protect me from all these things, or I enjoy life. The purpose I'm here is I must have these children." Where did she get that from? In the first book of Peter, chapter 1, first letter of Peter, chapter 1, we will read verse 24. Up to verse 25. For all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower therefore falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen. Now the faith of Rachel or the focus of Rachel was not in what was. But we cannot run away from the fact that the Bible says she was barren. She had no children. You can't deny that.
because she has no children. But when she comes to Jacob, she says, it's either I have children or I die. Why? Because she was the wife of Jacob to accomplish God's word which was given to Abraham. Yes. That Abraham was going to be a father of nations. Kingdoms would come up, nations would come out of him. Yes. And he would have children like the star. Yes. Now, Rachel, when she looked at this, it is as Peter puts it here, that everything else can fall away, but the word of God abides forever.
Amen.
So the will of God, which is the word of God,
Amen.
Cannot be deterred by anything.
Amen.
There's nothing that can stand in the way of the word of God
Amen.
And make it fail.
Amen.
So upon that foundation, Rachel comes and say, I have children or I die. But you are barren, Rachel. She doesn't look at that. She says, the word of God said it, and it has to be fulfilled.
Amen.
So now we can see here that Joseph was a product of the determination of a woman who defied all odds and stood and held on to the word of God.
Amen.
To her, it was the Amen.
Amen.
It was finality.
Amen.
Nothing could stand in her way.
Amen.
Yet we know, the Bible says, Rachel was fairer than her sister, Leah. And Jacob loved Rachel to the extent that the 7 years he had to serve for her dowry seemed like it was a few days. She had that. She was privileged to be fairer in her appearance, to be loved of Jacob. But she says, that's not why I am here. I'm here to the continuation, to the fulfillment of the will of God.
Amen.
So he was the son of a woman who had determination and believed in the word of God which cannot fail.
Amen.
Can you see? Where we are coming from actually determines where we are coming from, actually, you know, gives us a true reflection of what we are going to be or what we are supposed to be.
Amen.
So, again, let's look also at the father Jacob. We all know that when Rebekah was given to Isaac, or when Eliezer was in the homeland of Bethuel and Laban, Rebecca was asked, will you go with this man? She says, I'll go. And then she left her home with the blessing of being mother to tens of thousands. That was the blessing she got. And her betrothal was not just because Isaac had come and dated her or that, but it was a fulfillment or an answer to the prayer of the servant, who says, let it be that the damsel that I'll ask for water should also water the camels. So here is a line of prayer of faith. Now, when Rebecca came to the home of Isaac, the Bible clearly says she was barren. And Isaac prayed for her, and she conceived. So, you see, this is what it was. It was not only that, but in Romans chapter 4,
Romans chapter 4. Verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not that only which is of the law, but that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who worketh, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, what we want to do is we want to track the genealogy, the origin of this David, Joseph. We see him in Leah, his mother, in Rachel, his mother. We see him in Joseph, his father. And then we want to see him now in Isaac, his father. We all know, as the Bible says, Sarah was barren. As if that was not enough, she had passed the age of bearing children. So it was naturally proven Sarah could not have children. It was medically proven that she could not have children. And by experience, it was accepted that she could not be a mother. Yet, according to the word of promise, Abraham believed in a God who called the things that are as if they are not. Amen. The devil can point to all my mistakes, all my sins, and my everything. But when God looks, he doesn't see. Amen. Because he calls things that are as if they are not. Amen. Judging by his word. Amen. You know. So, Abraham, when he looked at the circumstances surrounding him, when he looked at the situation he was in, he was not deterred by the things that he could see. He believed in hope. He believed in the word of God. Amen. You know, sometimes, you know, the devil wants to point us to things that we are. You know, some people, they say, I cannot come and worship, I cannot give my life to God because, you know, I live this kind of life. I'm a smoker, or maybe I take drugs, or I take alcohol. You know, we look around at our what and who we are. But that is not the determining factor. How does God see me? Abraham had that faith that he could not rely, he could not live on things that were not in accordance with the word of God. Amen. That was his standing. The word of God was a finality to him. Amen. He believed not in an imagination, not in some circumstantial happenings, not in whatever was going around. He believed in the word of God. Amen. He believed in what God said. He believed in the promise of God.
Amen.
Oh, what a ground to stand on.
Yes.
Amen.
I don't look at myself. I'm a failure to begin with. I don't look at the people Because the devil will show me, this one is that, this one is that, this one is this, this one. That's what the devil can tell me. And if I live by that, I'll go nowhere. I have to look at the word of God.
Amen.
What does it say? That's why all the time Jesus will say to those he healed, your faith has saved you.
Amen.
It's not your pain that saved you. Because people, when they came to get their healing, they were not, you know, totally standing on their pain. Their pain was telling them, you are in pain, you are going to die. But their faith believed, and their faith saw their healing before it was even given them. Because faith is the evidence of things hoped for.
Amen.
The evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
So they were healed not by pain which was on them.
Amen.
That God had compassion on them, that, oh, they are in pain, so I must heal them. God never does anything upon those grounds. He healed them because they had faith.
Amen.
In something that was already done.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And then Jesus says, you are blessed. Your faith has healed you.
Amen.
It is not my pain that brings me to God. It's not even my sin that brings me to God. If you rebuke my sin, if I hear the preaching against my sin, I don't come to God and say, because I've been rebuked in this, because my sin has been brought to light, I come because of my sin. Because there's one thing that sin does. It separates us from God.
Amen.
So my sins cannot bring me to God.
Amen.
But it's my faith in the finished work.
Amen.
That brings me now to God.
Amen.
And then that will cause that which I was thinking is there, that which was appeared to be there, the sin that was in my life, then it can be wiped away.
Amen.
By the reality of that which is brought into being by faith, which is the evidence of things hoped for.
Amen.
So upon that ground, we see Abraham accepting what God had promised, and the Bible says it was imputed to him for righteousness.
Amen.
So in that ship, now we can say, even if there is evidence surrounding us that this is impossible, but by faith we believe.
Amen.
Amen. Now we want to go now. We see here Joseph is dead. The garment is proof that he is dead. The blood on the torn robe of many colors is just undisputable evidence that Joseph is dead. Amen. But let's look at this death again, this word death. Where did it come from? How did it begin? Because it must also have an origin.
Amen.
Amen. We go to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, we read verses 1 to 4. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, yet God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Amen.
Amen.
Now, here is the first lie that was told of the devil, that you shall not die. That's what The serpent told the woman, irrespective of what God has said, don't you worry, you shall not die. Now here we see this word or this creature called death in association with the human race, where now is introduced into the human race. It's spoken by the serpent that you shall not die. Yet the Bible tells us that Satan is the father of lies and a murderer from the beginning. How can the devil, how can Satan, who is the author, who is the murderer, who is the introducer of death, say you shall not die? Because he is the father thereof. You see, now I'm also like I'm a father. I'm not a father because I've got children. You know, I had 9 of them for your information. But don't you have so many? Huh? Okay. Right. I'm not a father by virtue of having 9 children lying before me. But before they were there, potentially, I was a father. And when that had to be manifested, I fathered these children, and they are all human beings. It's impossible for me to father a horse. Because that's not me. So, if you want to know who I am, when I got married, you'll come a year later and you find we are sitting there in our home with a little baby. That will prove to you that's who I am. So, that which we will be holding is not what makes me to be father. I am that before the realization of this.
Amen.
And if you see a dog, if you see a cat, if you see a horse, if you see a cow in my compound, it will never come into you that maybe he's the father. Because it's impossible. Can you see? So whenever the devil says anything, you know, you can see me holding the dog, you can see me patting the horse, it will never come into you that maybe that's his son. So whenever the devil says anything, no matter how much it looks like the truth, it's not the truth.
Amen.
Even if the devil comes to you and tells you there is one God in heaven, don't you believe it? That's why the scripture says no one can say Jesus is the Christ but by the Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
But isn't it simple just to say Jesus is the Son of God? So anything that does not have its origin in the Word of God is a lie. And the devil, because of his makeup, he can never, never, ever say the truth.
Amen.
That's why, you know, I remember one time when it was said something of a truth or something that is true can happen or can be done, yet it is not truth.
Yes.
When I put bait on a hook, I throw it into the water. That bait is food for the fish. But if I bring it in that form, it is not food.
if ever the fish should try to eat it, that's its end. It's not truth. Can you see? So the word of God is true. Now, the devil comes and says, you shall surely not die. And upon that conviction, the woman partook of the fruit. And what happens when that happened? When that happened, we go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, we'll read verse 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Amen. Now, when Jesus came, he came to die so that he might release the power of death upon those who die. Why do they die? Because Satan had told them, you shall not die. So they were held under the power of death. And one thing, it says they were held under the fear of death. Because it is a lie. The devil now brings that lie of fear of death, and he causes people to be subjected to that death by fear of death. Now, you look at somebody who is taking drugs. Why do they take drugs? They are frustrated in life, and frustration will bring all disorders in the body. So they want to run away from all these frustrations. So they started to take drugs so that they can cool off. When they cool off, they believe now we are living. So they take drugs in because they are afraid of death. They take alcohol because they are afraid of death. So they want something that can give them a consolation that now you can go on. Now you can do it. Can you see? That's why then they have this saying that life begins when the sun goes down. That's why now they go into these places and do whatever they are doing. Why are they doing that? They are doing it because they say, now this is life. Now if you enjoy or you are partaking of life, it means automatically you are pushing away from yourself death. That's why we eat. We want to push death away. Can you see? That's why our sister Blessing, she's no longer eating carbohydrates now. She believed the message that if you eat carbohydrates, you keep on putting on weight. Now she's afraid of putting on weight, so she's got to run away from the carbohydrates. She's afraid of death now. You see, now, so this is it. Now, because of that, people have been put into beliefs, into superstitions, into all these things, because of fear of death. Why did Buddhism rise up? Why did Mohammedism rise up? Why all these things, all these religions and all these superstitions rising up? People are trying to run away from death. Why? But this is an institution of the devil. It is a lie. The devil can never tell you the truth. Amen. So is it. But after so long a time, people being subjected to death, then Paul says, Jesus Christ, he came and died to take away the sting of death. To take away this lie of death. When we look at him, he is the assurance. He is the confirmation that there is life. Because his life is life after he conquered death. Brother Nice told us one of the other day, he says, when Jesus was born, at 8 days, he was given the name Jesus. Whenever they wanted him, they would call Jesus. He would come. But when you go to the book of Philippians, it says when he had overcome, he inherited a name. Can you see? You know, when my father died, I inherited land from him. But before he died, I did not have land. So I cannot inherit something that I have already. So Jesus could not inherit the name which he had already. Can you see? So, the life now he lives is a life that is over and above this death. That's why in John chapter 11, Jesus Christ spoke these words. The gospel according to John chapter 11, we read verse 23. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Amen. 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 Now here is Jesus Christ. After so long a time, people being held under the power of the lie of the devil, Jesus Christ makes a proclamation that death is a bluff. That death is not real.
Amen.
That death is not the truth.
Amen.
Amen. Because he who believes in me shall never die.
Amen.
And that is the word of God.
Amen.
Can you see? And he who dies shall live again.
Amen.
So how can somebody die? Yet Jesus says, if you believe in me, you shall not die.
Amen.
But okay. Let's take the devil's lie and say, he has died. I tell you, the truth is, he will live again. Can you see? He has the power to life again.
Amen.
Because Jesus has come to destroy the power of death.
Amen.
As we see Joseph's robe, it was there, lying before Jacob, as the evidence that Joseph had died. And if you can go back to where it's written of when they came with the robe, Jacob said, "An evil beast has killed him."
Yes.
Now, how can a beast be evil? Beasts are there in the forest. If a lion catches a buck, is it being evil? That's what it is. You see, a leopard kills an antelope to eat. That's what it is. But how come Jacob says an evil beast? How does it become evil? Because that is its way of life. You can see. Now, why that? Because that which killed Joseph is not propagating, is not promoting what the word of God said. The word of God said, out of Joseph will come children of Abraham.
Amen.
And before that is materialized,
death, the beast comes and then it kills Joseph. What is it killing? It's not just killing Joseph. It's killing the promise of God which is in Joseph. That's why Jacob would say this is an evil beast. It has terminated what God had propagated for my son to be. He was not just to be here to be loved and to live. He was here to confirm that the word of God is truth. And who is the enemy of God? Who is he that destroys or tries to do away with the word of God? Is that evil one. That's why Jacob would say, it's an evil beast. It's coming in to stop the flow of the word of God. Amen. So, because of that, Jacob says an evil beast has destroyed him. Yet we know that Joseph was not dead.
Amen.
We can see Jacob crying. We can see Jacob refusing to eat. We can see Jacob refusing consolation from his sons and his daughters. Why? Because Joseph is dead. But we can just fold our hands and stand afar and say, that is a lie.
That's a lie.
Joseph is not dead.
Amen.
He cannot die.
Amen.
Because of who he is.
Amen.
The son of that determined woman. The product of that Isaac, of Abraham, who against odds believed the word of God. And when we read in the book of Genesis, after Rachel came to Joseph, to Jacob and said, give me children or I die, it says, then the Lord God remembered.
Amen.
What God did there was not something to console Rachel and open her womb. He remembered.
Amen.
Remembered what? He remembered his word.
Amen.
He remembered his promise.
Amen.
He remembered what he said to Jacob. He remembered what he spoke to Abraham.
Amen.
Because already Rachel was in the program of God.
Amen.
And all God had to do was just to go into his archives and pull out that file. Open it, says, here it is. It says, Abraham will have children. So Rachel is in that line. It must be. Can you see? So, everything that is of faith cannot be destroyed by circumstances.
Amen.
You remember Tamar, the daughter-in-law of Judah. Here is a woman. She was married. The husband commits his sins. God kills him. The younger brother takes her to wife, and he did what he did. He's killed. And then Judah was afraid to give again his youngest son, lest he die. And he took Tamar back to her home. And what did Tamar do? She waylaid Judah. Can you see? I'm not here just to be a woman sitting here. I'm not here to be married to somebody. I must bring forth the seed of Judah. The continuation of the word of God. And who is Judah? The father of David. And who is David? The father of Jesus. And who is Jesus? The life.
Amen.
Here is Tamar, determined to bring forth life. I cannot be a widow forever. I cannot just stay there. In the mind of God, I must bring forth this lineage of the king. And she was right in the lineage of the king, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, this is what Joseph was. He was alive. He was not dead.
Yet here we have the evidence that is there. If they had consulted the physicians, or rather the soothsayers, or the diviners, they could have been told, yes, he is dead. But he was not. How could he die when he was in the lineage of the fulfillment of the word of God? How can he die when he was a carrier of the promise of God? How could he die when he was the manifestation of what God desired? He could not die. Amen. We go to Genesis chapter 37 and see who this Joseph is. Chapter 37 of Genesis. Chapter 37, verses 5. Genesis 37, verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. Now, this is the dream that Joseph dreamed. And what was this dream? It was not because he had eaten a lot of pepper that night. It is a dream that came from God. And a dream to God is just as good as a vision. And a vision to God is not a supposition. It's not something that we may look to, maybe. A vision is a totality in itself. A vision is a confirmation. A vision is a thing that is done. Can you see? So, here is a vision that comes from God. That Joseph is going to be a ruler. He's going to lead his brothers. Even his father. He was going to be a ruler. He was going to be a leader. And he tells this dream to his brothers. Then the brothers said, how can that be? Even when they took him, they wanted to kill him so that this dream will fail. They said, now let's come, let's take him, let's kill him, and see what will become of his dreams. So they took Joseph and then they put him in that pit. So that they would kill him. But we know what Reuben did and what Judah did. They wanted to sleep there and take him and bring him back to the father. Now, death could in no wise come to Joseph before the fulfillment of the word of God. But what happened then? Because we see in chapter 45, Joseph stands before his brothers and tells them, I am Joseph. After they had told him, without knowing he was Joseph, he says, we were 12, but one of us died. They told the truth as they saw it to be the truth. Because to them, Joseph was dead. So they said, we were 12, but one is no more. We remain on 11. And one who is the youngest remained back home with the father. And we have come. Amen. So, actually, when we look at Joseph in his date form,
You see, we see the garment, he is dead. The confirmation is there, he is dead. They even put him in a pit there to die. So here what we can see is Joseph faked death. Looked like he was dead. Yet he could not die. So it was this death which we can look at, that they wanted to kill him, they put him in the pit and they sold him so that he can die there. So it was this death that he went into that actually brought that which God promised.
Amen.
Can you see? If Rachel had no problem of this barrenness, it could not have brought forth the faith and the determination that was in her. Would be reading of her here. Can you see that? But there had to be that determination. There had to be that true vision of who she was.
Amen.
Because of this barrenness. So barrenness was the very door to bring into realization the faithfulness and the uncompromising promise of God into being. Then we can see now, this is really a promise from God. Because if it had just happened naturally, we would say, okay, it just happened. Can you see?
Amen.
That's why even in the ministry of Jesus Christ, we see Jesus when he was called by Jairus to pray for his daughter. The Bible says he went there. As he entered, they said, okay, don't worry. The child is dead. Then the child had just died.
Yes.
And he says, no, she's not dead. Then they laughed him to scorn. Then he chased them all from the house. He prayed for the child, and the child rose. And there were people outside there. Oh, you know what? The child had died. But, you know, this Jesus of Nazareth has come in and prayed for her, and she's alive. Somebody say, forget it. Maybe she had just collapsed, you know, because she was very sick. So she just revived. There was no, you know, true proof that that child actually died. Then we know of the incident of the widow of Nain. They were actually taking the body. But you know, according to their custom, a body is buried the day the person dies. So it was that very day that that young boy died. So when they were going to the graveyard, that's when they met Jesus, and Jesus said, "Son, rise." And the boy rose up. Somebody can say, oh, maybe, you know, he was so sick until they thought he was dead.
Yes.
How can you say Jesus raised him from the dead? But the third time, he was called Lazarus is sick, he did not come. Lazarus is dead, he did not come. After 4 days, proof that surely Lazarus had died.
Amen.
There was no one who could dispute that.
Amen.
Then Jesus comes and says, Lazarus, come forth.
Amen.
You know, to show
Amen.
The infallibility of the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. So here we see Joseph. He is fooling death. Can you see that? He's feigning death there. He actually died, yes. The cloth could show his death. But he could say, I am Joseph to his brothers. Amen.
Amen.
Why? Because he could not die without fulfilling the purpose of God in his life.
Amen.
Can you see? Now, let's look at this. We are not here by chance. We are not here because we were just born. We were born for a purpose. And that purpose has got to be accomplished. Nothing can come our way. That's why we can say,
our brothers know they.
Amen.
He was called to be a minister. He was called to proclaim this gospel. He was born for that purpose. And this evil animal called death, he has come. But as sure as there's a God in heaven, he could not die. The purpose has got to be fulfilled. The reason why in the first place he was born has got to be accomplished. He is not dead. And we are here as proof that he cannot die.
Amen.
Now, as we look at it, in the first book of Corinthians, chapter 5, is it chapter 15? I think it must be chapter 15. Let's just get to it. Corinthians chapter 15, we read verse 51. It says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ."
Amen.
Amen. So here is our assurance.
Amen.
Though this body can one day succumb to injury or to sickness, that does not annul the word of God and the purpose of God in our life.
Amen.
In this body, we are subjected to pain and sorrows because it is a product of mortality. But housed in this body is that which came from God, which is the Word of God. And that can never be defeated.
Amen.
Amen. Because there is something that is in us that came from God. We have got this seed of God in us, which came from the monogen, which is the Word of God, the Logos. There is a yearning in us that we want to be perfected. There is a yearning in us that we must come to that which was purposed for us.
Amen.
I want to believe there was a yearning in Jacob, in Joseph, for the fulfillment of the vision that God gave him.
Amen.
That's why he could not live careless, you know.
Yes.
When his brothers were killing the goats in the fields there, eating and maybe selling some goats there, if they wanted to sell Joseph, how much more the goats and the sheep? They must have sold many.
Yes,
it was their business of selling. So ultimately they wanted to sell their brother. But Joseph was not subjected to that. He lived a life above reproach.
Amen.
Because he had a desire in him for the fulfillment of the purpose of God in him.
Amen.
That's why we are here.
Amen.
There's a desire in every one of us for that perfection.
Amen.
There's something in us telling us,
amen,
this body is not giving us the true life.
Amen.
That's why Paul says, I want to bring this body under subjection.
Yes.
Pulling down the strongholds of Satan.
Amen.
that I may not succumb to the will of the body, but that which is in me, that which God ordained to life, that's what I want to live.
Amen.
Now for that healing which was in Joseph, it could not be accomplished while he was in his father's house. He had to die. He had to go to another place. How could he go there? He had to go by that way of death. With the evidence of the torn garment that he is dead. And because he is dead, now he can say, I'm Joseph, your brother. I've been given by Pharaoh all Egypt. Everything is under my subjection. Because he had passed through there.
Amen.
There's a healing in you. There's a healing in me. That I want that which is alive. And that healing cannot be destroyed by death.
Amen.
And our brother, when he was ministering, it was not for the day's bread. It was not for him to have a place to stay. It was a healing for the saints ordained of God.
Amen.
To come to the truth.
Hallelujah.
To come to the realization of who they are. And that healing can never die.
Amen.
That purpose cannot be diminished.
Amen.
That purpose can, the devil cannot touch that. He can touch the body.
Amen.
That's why the brothers of Joseph could not touch Joseph. All they did was to tear the garment.
Amen.
They could not tear him.
Amen.
They soaked the garment in blood, not Joseph.
Amen.
He's indestructible.
Amen.
Because there's a commission for him.
Amen.
There's a purpose why God ordained him.
Amen.
Amen. That's why at the end of the day, he can say, don't worry, I'm Joseph.
Amen.
Amen. And in that state, they thought now he was going to kill them. He says, no. I'm here to save you. I'm here to have, so that death cannot overcome you.
Amen.
So that you won't die of hunger.
Yes.
So, you know, he feigned death to destroy death.
Amen.
That's what our Lord Jesus Christ did.
Amen.
He died so that death can have power over us.
Amen.
Amen. And then we see here one who was among us, whom we loved and desired to be with us forever. He goes. Why? Because there was a cause. There was a purpose in his life. And that purpose cannot be destroyed.
Amen.
This is now that which we stand here and say, let it go forth.
Amen.
Let the fruits of that be eaten again.
Amen.
Let the eyes of the blind,
amen,
be opened again.
Hallelujah.
Let those in darkness,
hallelujah,
see light again.
Hallelujah.
There's no way this ministry can be destroyed.
Hallelujah.
There's no way this word cannot go forth.
Amen.
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 And I stand here believing that there are no Joseph's brothers here.
Amen.
Amen. If you are Joseph's brother, cry for the new birth. Amen.
Amen.
We are here for the purpose of God.
Amen.
We are here so that which God desired can be fulfilled.
Amen.
So our brother, I'd love to say this to his co-ministers, to his children,
amen,
to his brothers, he's not dead.
Amen.
As long as the cause is there,
amen,
as long as we are determined to accomplish the word of God as promised.
Amen.
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 They asked Brother Branham, has the bride a ministry? He says, yes.
Amen.
Very humble ministry. That is of the prophet, of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers.
Amen.
There is a ministry. Amen.
Amen.
And that ministry is going forth.
Amen. Amen.
It cannot be destroyed. What is the purpose of the ministry? It's to perfect the bride.
Amen.
As long as there is the body of Christ on this earth, the ministry can never, never, never die.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Because it is there for the perfection of the bride.
Amen.
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 2 Timothy. Second Timothy, we go to chapter 2. Verse 2. Or we start with verse 1. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Here is Paul encouraging Timothy. The things that you heard from me, what is that? It is the revelation that Paul says, God, who knew me, who chose me from my mother's womb to proclaim this gospel, is the one who is with me. I never learned it of man. Paul says, I'm not even ashamed of this gospel.
Amen.
Because it is the power of God.
Amen.
It is this gospel that he had shared to Timothy. And he admonishes him.
Amen.
These things that you have heard, you must treasure them. Not only that, but you must be able to give it to other men. Able men. Can you see? It's coming from Paul, goes to Timothy, and from Timothy he must dish it out to able men. And those able men should be able to teach others also.
Yes.
And then we talk of the failure of a ministry. It cannot be. There is always that life. That's why then Paul tells Timothy in chapter 4, the same book of Timothy, in chapter 4, he says in verse 6, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
Yes.
He admonishes now Timothy. He says, you must preach the word when he sees his departure coming. But the departure of Paul is not the end of the commission.
Oh, yes.
The departure of Moses,
amen,
is not the end of the commission. Can you see?
Amen.
The departure of Joshua is not the end.
Yes.
Everything is just pushing and pointing and going to that which was determined.
Amen.
Because remember, Moses, when he was in Egypt, he did not just see the suffering of the people. The Bible says he saw Christ.
Amen.
So if he came out of Pharaoh's house, if he came out of Egypt because he had seen Christ, he was looking to the manifestation, to the realization of that Christ whom he saw in that vision. So it was his desire to see Christ. That's why even when God said, I want to destroy these people, he fell between the people and the wrath of God.
Yes, sir.
Which was the spirit of Christ in him.
Hallelujah.
And he also told the people, when I'm gone, don't you ever think it's done.
Stop.
Another prophet will be raised.
Amen.
So because of that, when he died, God had to move again for the realization of that vision.
Amen.
there came a Joshua. When Joshua was gone, there came judges. Judges going, there came kings. Kings going, it was prophet after prophet. Prophet after prophet, until we come to John. Who could now stand and say, behold, what Moses saw in the wilderness. What Moses saw when he was in Egypt. This is what caused Moses to denounce his Egyptian citizenship.
Hallelujah.
This is what Moses caused Moses to come out of the places of Egypt. Behold, that is the Lamb of God.
Hallelujah.
Can you see? The vision can never be killed because somebody has died. As far as we are concerned, the message of Moses was alive.
Amen.
It could not die. Yes, Moses had to give way to Joshua. Joshua gave way to the judges. And on and on and on and on. So is it with us. We are not orphans.
Amen.
We are not destitute.
Amen.
We have not been forsaken.
Amen.
But we hold
Amen.
The banner of truth.
Amen.
We hold the purpose of the ministry.
Amen.
We hold the desire of God.
Amen.
For we are not born of things that decay.
Yes, sir.
But we are born of the word of God,
Amen.
Which endureth forever.
Amen.
And upon that, we can declare
Amen.
That he is not dead.
Amen.
The commission is alive.
Amen.
The desire is alive.
Amen.
The purpose is alive.
Amen.
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 When we can look back and see the remains, they only tell us that there's a work to be done.
Amen.
If I thought it was him to do it, now these bones are telling me I'm the one to do it.
Yes.
Amen.
Can you see? We have been called to the accomplishment
Amen.
Of the purpose of God.
Amen.
And in that hope,
Amen.
We rejoice.
Amen.
In that hope, we are consoled.
Amen.
In that hope, we have a tomorrow.
Amen.
We have not been forsaken.
Amen.
We have not been left.
Amen.
The God of heaven,
Amen.
Who made his promise, who gave us this message
Hallelujah.
That we stood on,
Amen.
That has nurtured us
Amen.
To be what we are today.
Amen.
He is faithful.
Amen.
You see us through.
Amen.
You lead us. You nurture us.
Amen.
You fulfill his word in us.
Amen.
For he is God.
Amen.
And we are here.
Yes.
Not deviated
Amen.
By things that have happened. We are here, focused
Amen.
By the vision proclaimed by God himself
Amen.
When he imparted this word upon us.
Amen.
May God help us.
Amen.
May we not be deterred by these things. But like Rachel,
Amen.
Let's stand and claim the promise.
Amen.
Like Abraham, let's not see things which are not supposed to be seen. Let's see the reality and the truth of the word of God.
Amen.
Upon that, I say, brothers and sisters, be blessed.
Amen.
Move on. March on.
Amen.
Strive along.
Yes.
Let's fight the battle.
Amen.
Let's stand. Amen. If there's one among us whose hands, like Joshua, we must hold, let's
Amen.
Do it. If there's a sister who needs hands should be held up. Let's hold them up.
Amen.
As we march to the destruction of the enemy
Amen.
And to the day of the rapture.
Amen.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, Father, that you have built us upon a hope which is immovable. This is the rock that the builders rejected.
Yes.
But to us, it is the chief cornerstone. And it is also the capstone. Father God, we come before thy throne of mercy. May you help us, Lord. May you bless your people. May you encourage your children.
May you give us of your spirit.
Amen.
May you, Father God, reveal more of your word. May you bring in us that spirit of humility.
Amen.
That spirit of forbearance.
Amen.
That spirit, Father God, of love. That we may march on. That we may go even unto the fulfillment of the word of God in our lives. Father God, we commit this, Lord, into your hands, even for your glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. We thank God. Thank you for listening to the visible audience and the invisible audience. We commit every one of you into the hands of God, in the hands of Him who is able to keep that which He has given you unto that day. God bless you.
Thank you.